people who cannot control their gambling can suffer some pretty terrible effects on both their health and the welfare of themselves and family. A new study looks at how it affects the families and the cost to society as a whole. And my colleague Linda Jardin joins me now with more on this story. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, Mark.
Lynn, first, I guess we should say that gambling is a pretty big business in Canada.
Yeah, you're right there. Government statistics indicate that net revenues from gambling have increased from $2.73 billion, that was in 1992, to $13.7 billion in 2007. So just a huge increase. Much of this gambling activity is run by provincial governments right across the country. And because revenue growth has leveled off in the last few years, lottery corporations are currently trying to expand their operations and getting into stuff like the internet. And that's what prompted the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada to do a study on problem gambling.
So how does one define problem gambling?
Well, as the Institute's researcher Derek Miedema explains, you have a problem when gambling gets in the way of life.
And this is the definition I have in my paper from the Canadian Association for Mental Health. Gambling is a problem when it gets in the way of work, school, or other activities, when it harms your mental or physical health, when it hurts you financially, when it damages your reputation, and when it causes problems with your family or friends.
Now, Canadians have a pretty wide variety of places they can gamble legally. There are government-run casinos right across the country. There are often video lottery terminals in bars. You can even go to your corner store and buy lottery tickets. There are slot machines, card games, horse races. So really a wide variety of games widely available. Adults and teens play, and of course some of them lose control.
Indeed. I can remember seeing some people buying, you know, like literally hundreds of dollars worth of lottery tickets at the corner store. It's a little bit scary. How many Canadians, in fact, are, you know, maybe out of control with their gambling?
Well, Mr. Miedema quotes some figures from a 2007 report by the Ontario Problem Gambling Research Centre.
3.2% of Canadian adults are problem gamblers. Now, that number sounds small, but another study out of Australia, for example, found that between 5 and 10 people per problem gambler can be affected. And we understand that when, you know, if a problem gambler is spending a lot of money, that means that their spouse, their children, their coworkers may be affected negatively. So they estimated that between 5 and 10 people per problem gambler could be affected. And so that 3.2% of Canadian adults becomes actually 12 to 25% of the adult population of Canada.
Well, it's hard to grasp that up to a quarter of Canadians might be touched in some way by the effects of problem gambling. The problem gamblers themselves experience, of course, higher rates of stress, depression, anxiety, and substance abuse. And on average, low-income households spend more than twice as much as high-income households. So that means gambling profits are often drawn from the poor. And Mr. Miedema says families of problem gamblers suffer in many ways.
Problem gambling separates families, and it separates families when problem gambler cares more about going to the slot machines or to the casino or to the horse racetrack than they do about spending time with their family. It creates conflict when a problem gambler is spending so much money that the other parent can't afford the bills. It creates conflict and crisis when children can't have the basic needs that they need to live, to go to school, etc. It destroys families because gamblers themselves speak of losing relationships with their family. Like many addictions, gambling as an addiction can, if people want to keep it hidden, then they continue to isolate themselves more and more from the family.
Well, this spending on wagers alone can ruin a family. Money, you know, that goes to gambling, you know, is not there for food, say, or clothing. And in some cases, families are even evicted from their homes because there's no longer money for the mortgage or for the rent.
Of course, governments that are involved in gambling are making so much money from it, there's really not much incentive for them to get out. They actually include it as a vital part of their annual budgets and so on.
And particularly now with, you know, budget squeezes, they just want to make more and more. And that's what Mr. Miedema says. He says that governments are in a conflict of interest. On the one hand, they have programs to try to help problem gamblers. But the problem gamblers are really the big spenders who bring in huge revenues. And what he thinks is that governments should not be in the gambling business at all.
I recommend that the government get out of running and operating gambling, that the government get out of gambling, privatize it, and then once gambling is privatized, they can regulate it to make sure it's safe. They can set rules in place to make sure that gambling is safe. And they can also tax winnings to get back some of the revenue, some of the money they would lose. But then they can be the ones who help problem gamblers to stop without having the challenge of making money.
Mr. Miedema says if the governments don't get out of the gambling business entirely, they should at least separate the bodies that run the gambling to make a profit from those that try to foster responsible gambling. He says, you know, those are two competing goals, and they should be chased by two different bodies. And in the meantime, he says government should stop expanding gambling operations and stop online wagering. In the end, he says, governments need to understand that they may be making money, but they and society as a whole are losing because of problem gambling.
When we even think about divorce courts and the cost of families going through divorce courts, or the cost of families going onto welfare when they have to declare bankruptcy, or the cost of families having to go into low-income housing when they have to lose their home because of gambling, these are all costs that are added on. And it's not just financial cost to the government. It's also a cost to society, because when we have children who are damaged because of their family's relationship to gambling, then those are children who are going to grow up to be adults who are going to need help to deal with that.
Mr. Miedema says governments across Canada need to take a close look at the effects of problem gambling on Canadian families and then take steps to reduce those problems. His report is available on the website of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, and we'll be sure to post a link on our own website.
All right. Thank you very much for this, Lynn.
You're welcome, Mark.
And that is my colleague Lynn Desjardins here at The Link.